Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thank you for listening to Susie Larson Live. Faith Radio podcasts are only possible because of your support. So thanks for giving, and thanks for sharing with a friend. It's only just a matter of welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, you don't have to look too far to realize we live in a day of so much biblical departure. And it's hard to know who's in and who's out these days. Hard to discern if someone is off the rails biblically or if maybe they just differ in opinions in a way that's perfectly biblical. During our recent fundraiser, I read from a book of a popular author, and we've been using his book in fundraising for many years. And it truly is one of the best books I've read on generosity and biblical stewardship. This year, when I read from the book, a listener texted in and called me on it. When I was off the air, I said, did something happen with this guy that I don't know about? And apparently he's wandered from biblical principles in a very concerning way. I was grieved. I had no idea. I even talked with my pastor about it that night, and he says graciously said, okay, that doesn't mean his earlier work is worthless. He's written some great books. Maybe be careful with his current work. I appreciated that insight because nothing I feel like I've read from that book was ever unbiblical. It was great content. But it begs the question, how do I, as a radio host and an author and a speaker, stay on top of who's out of bounds and who just differs in opinion on secondary issues? Just this morning, I received a text about a fellow author that I've had on this show, that I've shared the stage with at speaking events, who's drifted into unbiblical teaching. I'm shocked. An hour later, I received a call about a guest that I've had on the show and their association with those who teach unbiblical principles. But is being associated the same as embracing a biblical doctrine? Jesus was a friend of sinners. Today's show is going to feel a little bit like a family meeting. I'm asking you, would you pray for me? I'm feeling a little battered these days. Would you pray for us? I'm asking for your grace and your intercession. I so want to do this right, but it feels nearly impossible to keep track of everyone. In my earlier years of radio, if an author was published by a mainstream Christian publisher, that was its own vetting process, and I knew they were on a basically good foundation. That's no longer true today. Things will slip into their books that are easy to miss. I'm sober today. Will you grant me some grace? Will you give me the benefit of the doubt? And would you pray earnestly for me and for our team that we continue to honor God's word, because that's what we want. A friend said to me today, these are trying times, but they are meant to test our hearts. Will we be diligent students of the word? So I'm wondering, will we refrain from snap judgments, but then be quick to discern departure? Because I think these are two different things. Jumping on a bandwagon, the cancel culture, it's alive in the Christian space. It is. I'm not willing to jump on a bandwagon and cancel someone because they believe different than I do on a secondary issue. I have fellowship with friends who believe very differently in some of the issues that we have liberty to, and I love them, and we love each other. We're not breaking fellowship. But people are departing from the cores of Christianity, and that's a profound concern. So how do we walk in faith, hope, and love and high discernment, but not snap judgments? Dr. Mike Novotny is my guest today. His book is titled Taboo, Topics Christians Should Be Talking About But Don't. And I want to talk with Mike about these things today. What is a false teacher? And then on what topics are we free to differ while staying under the umbrella of biblical Christianity? And then what doctrinal opinions suddenly make for false doctrine? And do you throw those people away? Do you fast and pray? Do you break fellowship? Francis Frangipane shaped my thinking so much in my early years. I think he's retired now, but he said in one of his older books, you're not permitted to judge anybody that you're not willing to die for. And if you're not willing to die for them, are you at least willing to fast for them? Man, I think we're way off course. I think we're so quick to believe the worst, so quick to jump on the bandwagon. How do we walk in love? So what do you do with the biblical departures? I mean, you have to have wisdom about association, right? So we might step on a few toes today, and I want you to hear my heart. That is not my intent. Our mission at Faith Radio is to lead people to Christ and nurture believers and disciple them in their faith. That is sometimes a messy process. It's messy because the world is so messy and there are so many untruths infiltrating Christianity. So will you be praying as we have this conversation, as we wrestle for a biblical perspective? I want to fear God and honor Him in all that we say and do. I want that so much, but I'm not going to do it perfectly, so I ask for your prayers. A couple of quick announcements before we hear from Dr. Mike. If you have a prodigal or a loved one that's far from God, we don't want you to walk this journey alone. I've recorded 15 audio clips that we can text right to your phone to encourage you as you contend for the people that you love. One of them is about taking care of your soul. One is about forgiveness. One's about persevering prayer. All you got to do, they're free, text the word heart to 877-933-2484. Text the word heart to 877-933-2484. My second announcement is about my guest today. We're so glad and honored to welcome pastor and author Dr. Mike Novotny to our Faith Radio lineup. So you'll hear him at 2 o'clock Central Standard Time on Faith Radio. So let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. And thank you for the texts that are coming in. I love and appreciate you so much. Dr. Mike Novotny is an author, pastor, and speaker who holds a Master's of Divinity from Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary and a Doctor of Ministry from Trinity Evangelical Divinity School. Pastor Mike, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Susie. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you for coming on. And before we get into my opening conversation, my monologue, or whatever you call that, I'd love to ask the first question that I ask all the time is, what's God been talking to you about these days?
Oh, do I have to answer that question?
Yes, you do. Please.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, it's so ironic. You know, it's such a big, exciting week to be jumping into the Faith Radio family here. 3 weeks ago, I actually had a major surgery. So I tore my ACL and my meniscus, and 22 days ago, I went under the knife. And I had all these grand plans that I was going to be like grateful, and I was going to see the silver lining, and in all things, God is going to work for the good. And I kind of feel like Peter, who said, "Lord, I will never deny you. I will always stand by you." And wow, these last 3 weeks have really taken a toll on me emotionally and spiritually. So the word that's been coming back to me that I'm so grateful for is from Lamentations 3, that God's mercies are new every morning.
Hallelujah.
I'm waking up with a broken body and like, oh man, it was another day where fear and grumbling got the best of my faith. But God is so strong when I'm weak, and He's so faithful when I forget about my faith. Mm-hmm. And he's so gracious when I fall short of my best intentions. So I got to say, it hasn't been the best month for my faith, but to know that God is constant and steadfast, and every time the sun comes up, His mercy, grace, and forgiveness do too. That's just been a rock and a refuge for me during the season of my life.
Isn't it interesting? I mean, that He's so there for us. He really is Emmanuel, because I feel weak over, you know, different reasons, and I've been sensing His mercy and His compassion as well. And, you know, that begs the conversation around how I open the show. I'm so grieved on one hand by the ready, shoot, aim culture, but I understand some of the fear behind it because the departures are very concerning. So you heard my mouthful. Any just initial comments from what I had to say?
Yeah. Yeah. I got my Bible here on my desk as we're talking. And from the first sentence, I just opened up to 1 Timothy, which I think is so pertinent when we talk about good teaching and false teaching, and how should ministry leaders and Christians react to things. And I think it's nothing new. As heartbreaking as it is, go back to the first century. Were there people who were twisting the word of God to craft some easier, smoother road that would be more popular? A teaching and a theology that itching ears would love to hear. And my Bible right now is open to 1 Timothy 4, where Paul's answer to this situation like this is, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them. And I love this line, watch your life and your doctrine closely.
Wow.
So good. Yeah, I don't want to pounce or jump on anyone. I wouldn't want them to do the same thing to me. But we are called not just to watch our character and our morality closely, but we should be examining doctrine. There's nothing more important than what we say about God. So Paul says, devote yourself to the public reading of the book that will get your doctrine right, and then persevere in good doctrine, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers.
Wow, that's so good. Before the show, Angie and I always pray. We always have such a great time of prayer. And one of the things we were kind of going back and forth about is, you know, the narrow path is just as narrow today as far as just, you know, the way to the Father is through the Son. And as we follow Jesus, the way isn't easy and smooth. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. But when you think of our hearts, our proneness to wander, our proneness to jump on the judgment train, our proneness to be quick to believe the worst, and then our proneness to take the path of ease when it's hard to stand up for biblical doctrine because you'll be alienated and lambasted. It's, you know, to me, it's like, this requires such a heart engagement to keep your heart in such a place where you're humble, you're teachable, you fear God, you honor his word, you love people that think differently than you. You're not compromising scripture, but you're also not compromising God's standard to love. And that I can't, you don't phone that in and you don't default to those kinds of postures, right? I mean, those kinds of things I feel like, Mike, require a continual abiding in the vine because we can't do this without him.
Yeah. I think without an open Bible in front of us, almost on a daily basis, such things will be nearly impossible. People pleasing will get the best of us. People hating will get the best of us. So I know where my heart, it just naturally drifts in the cultural climate that we live in. And so just to have this anchor of the word to get me back to the very basics of here's what's true and here's how to love. Man, it's not just for the sake of my own soul, but my ability to discern others' teachings and then treat people as Jesus would treat them. So, man, God, give us the kind of humility that just needs the Bible even before a cup of coffee Amen. Or breakfast. Like, yes. we just need it to do this right.
Oh, we need it so much. So let's talk about, we've got a few minutes before our break. We're going to keep on keeping on. But let's talk about some of the cores of Christianity, that these are immovable and they're not up for grabs. And they're not optional. First is, you know, we believe in the one true and living God. I mean, he's the creator, the sustainer of the universe, all wise, all knowing, all powerful, ruler over everything. Speak about that one.
Oh, man. Yeah. How can you get theology right if you don't get God right?
Yeah.
I mean, theology comes from two Greek words, theos, which means God, and logos, which means a word about something. So to know that there is just one God who has revealed himself in three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. We could talk about morality and do's and don'ts and how we should live, but if you miss the person that Christianity is trying to connect us to, that we get to God through the blood of his son, Jesus, then we've missed the whole thing. And so, let God reveal himself so we don't have to guess like ancient pagan people did. But no, there's a God who said, you don't have to guess what I'm like. Let me give you 66 books and kind of describe how I work. So the revelation of God's own character is so powerful in the word.
Wow, so good. And the second is we believe that Jesus Christ is God's beloved son. He wasn't just a prophet. He wasn't just a wise, you know, rabbi. He was God's son. That cannot be up for grabs. That's not metaphorical. That's true.
Yeah, if Jesus was just a man and he died on a cross, he would have just been a man who died on a cross. there were countless men who died on crosses, but they can't save me and they can't forgive you. But if it was really the holy, precious blood of God's one and only Son, the Lamb without blemish or defect, Well, now if we have a big divine Jesus, the cross becomes something transformative and salvific, something that can redeem us and save us. So, I don't want to diminish the nature of Jesus himself because it would diminish my own salvation. So we exalt him as Savior and Lord, which makes his cross our hope and our anchor for our faith.
Amen. We believe in the Holy Spirit. This is another, you know, profession sometimes you hear people say, I'm not really into the Trinity. I believe Jesus died for my sins. Don't really believe in the Trinity. But what do you say about, well, let's take these two separate. We believe in the Holy Spirit, that he's one with the Father and the Son.
Yeah. Yeah. What did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 12? No one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
So if there wasn't a Spirit using the gospel and the word of God to transform our hearts, we would never see Jesus as the divine Lamb of God who could connect us to our Heavenly Father. So when I was back in seminary, someone once said that, you know, Jesus is like the star of the show. He's the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. And it's like we're watching on a television set, but it's the Holy Spirit who's the camera operator. And if the camera isn't pointed at the actor, well, those of us sitting at home can't see the actor. And I love that. The Holy Spirit's kind of this like a little bit more subtle person of the Trinity who loves it when we don't, you know, pay so much attention to him, but instead fix our eyes on Jesus. That's what he wants us to see. And Jesus is the one he wants us to exalt. So I love the work of the Holy Spirit too.
On the other side of the break, I want to talk just to take another minute to talk about the work of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's role in our lives. Because here again, Pastor, there are dividing lines and there's, you know, a lot of division in the body of Christ. That's grievous to me because, but I understand it. But still, there are just core roles of the Spirit to guard and guide and provide and comfort. And what a gift. And so when you deny the Holy Spirit or you sort of ignore him as the third person of the Trinity, you're making your faith, you're walking with a limp in a way that's not good. So talking to Pastor Mike Novotny today, and as I said, this is sort of a family meeting. I just needed this, and I'm hoping this is good for you as well. Really feeling the burden of wanting to do this right. And, you know, I've got two full-time jobs, so I'm trying my hardest to keep an eye on what's going on out there, but you can't know what's in a man's heart. You can, you know, read through a book and miss a departure that happens online. We're doing our best. So we just want to talk about cores of Christianity. What's a true biblical departure? Where is there liberty to disagree? And how do we walk this out in love? And we'll draw some topics from his book, Taboo, Topics Christians Should Be Talking About But Don't, by Dr. Mike Novotny. We'll be back in a minute. Hi, I'm Suzy Larson, host of Suzy Larson Live, and I just have to pause, take a deep breath, and say thank you. With all my heart, thank you. You often hear me say, we can't do this without you, and we absolutely wouldn't want to. It's more important than ever that we be bold for Jesus, because we believe and know he's the hope of the earth, and you helped us do just that. So thank you for partnering with us so that we can partner with God to change the world. And if you've not given yet, you still have a chance to join us on this mission field. You can give now, safe and secure online, at myfaithradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live. Have I told you yet how much I appreciate you and love you and just love doing this journey with you? So grateful that you're listening today. And if you missed my open, it was very raw and honest. Once the live show's over, maybe go back and catch that so you kind of know the context of what we're talking about today. Talking to Dr. Mike Novotny, whom we're just so honored to add to our Faith Radio lineup. We're drawing some from his book, Taboo, Topics Christians Should Be Talking About But Don't. But also, I'm just asking him to help me out here because it is just, as a person who's on the air, but I'm also out there speaking and writing and sharing the stage with different people. And then I get wind of somebody who, you know, I've had on the show or I've shared the stage with, and I find out, did you know that they believe this or they stand with this? And yet I'm also aware that the cancel culture is very much infiltrated the church for. It's just painful to me when you think about, can we have different views on secondary issues and love each other? And we haven't always proven that to be the case, but we need to. But also, we've got a hold of the standard of Scripture. And Dr. Mike Novotny writes about that with so much clarity in his book, Taboo, about, you know, the standard of love and the standard of God's Word, and not shrinking back on what his word says about sinful behavior. So that's a mouthful. So at this point right now, we're walking through some of the cores of Christianity. I do have to read this from Diane. I love our listeners. But she said, Suzy, what a significant topic. You've often impressed me when interviewing a guest with whom I no longer agree, so genuinely loving. This discussion is exactly what every member of the family needs to hear. We need discernment. We need wisdom and grace. And guess what? Amen, she says. God provides in abundance. Thank you for tackling this discussion. We've got to be willing to speak and to listen, and then measure everything against God's word. Amen. I'm praying for the listeners and the hosts right now. Bless you, Diana. Thank you for that. So we've talked about the core belief of Christianity. It's central. It's foundational. The fact that we believe in one true living God. He merely spoke and the heavens came to be. We believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. Amen. Amen. And then we believe in the Holy Spirit. Angela just posted this passage, John 16:7. Jesus himself said it was good for him to go so that he could send the Holy Spirit, the advocate. Very truly, I tell you, it's for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Say just a word, if you would, about the blessing and the gift of the Holy Spirit, because I think he's often the most ignored person of the Trinity.
Yeah, that's so true. During the break, I just opened my Bible to Romans 8, and just the word Spirit is popping off the page at me. You know, Paul says things like, the Spirit that we receive does not make us, does not give us a spirit of fear, but you receive the Spirit of sonship. And by the Spirit, we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So, you know, why would a guy like me, who has sinned so many times in so many ways, how could I dare to claim I'm part of the loving, holy family of God? And the answer is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, you know, just fixed my eyes on Jesus and gave me a heart to believe this good news is good for me too. A couple of verses later, Paul says, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what to pray, but the Spirit's working in our hearts. So I just love the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, that we are now the new temple of God because God himself dwells within the hearts of all of his people, reminding us of what's true, prompting us to be convicted of sin, fixing our eyes on Jesus, and as the famous passage says, producing the fruit of the Spirit, that love and peace, joy, kindness, and all the other beautiful things that we love.
So good. Dr. Rob Reamer, who joins me once a month, he says, how do you know if your spiritual rhythms are working? Are you increasing? Are you more loving, joyful, peaceful? Do you love God more and love others more than you did a year ago? And would your people agree? And that's so good. I mean, are we abiding to the point where the fruit of the Spirit is coming out of our lives? And Gwen wrote this, I just got to read. She says, always going to give you the benefit of the doubt, Susie. Your devotion to Jesus and his word is evident. Thank you for that. She said, I believe God's Holy Spirit is going to give you a piece about certain people, guests, and he will give you discernment about people that you shouldn't invite as guests. And as believers, let's be diligent about praying confidently for those who have started deconstructing and departed from biblical teaching. Amen. That goes back to what Frangipane said. You're not allowed to judge people that you're not willing to die for, or at least fast for. And then this is what she says, and I so love it. She says, we also have to be careful to determine prayerfully if that person has truly departed from biblical teaching, or is it simply a different belief on one of those minor points that doesn't interfere with the foundations of Christianity. I say that because I see sometimes there's a nitpicking among Christians over things that don't matter. Somebody got to text Gwen an amen. She says, but it's time to be very aware of what people are preaching. Lord, help us to be so close to you that we can see the beliefs that are not aligned with you. That is so good. Anything you want to say to Gwen before we keep moving on here?
Yeah, Paul's words in 2 Timothy 3 keep popping into my head, that all scripture is God-breathed and it's useful. So when God talks about his own word, you know, we might say that there are some like foundational doctrines that you need to believe to be saved. But God has just such a passionate love for every word and adjective and adverb and noun and verb that he inspired in the word that, you know, I think I love it when we can have a heart like the Bereans did, where when a teacher comes to us, we are so quick to grab the word, open to the page. Hey, tell me what you're teaching. And instead of just believing someone because they have a big platform or they're well known, like the Apostle Paul would have been in Acts 17, instead we let the word get the final word. So I think that's such a good filter. All scripture is God-breathed, and it's so useful in addressing questions just like this.
Yeah. Word gets the final word. Oh, love it. Okay, so we're talking. Angie just posted. Do you call them GIFs or GIFs? I don't even know, but she's got someone preaching. Yes, yes, yes. All right, we're walking through the cores of Christianity. We believe in one true living God. We believe that Jesus Christ is God's beloved Son. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe that salvation comes only through Jesus Christ. You touched on this, but do you want to say more? Because this is one, Mike, that I have heard from people, that people have departed from, and, you know, that we're born good, you know, that there's not a need for an atoning sacrifice. What say you?
I think anyone who says that has never had a child.
Okay.
Someone once told me original sin is believed by everyone who's ever had a son or a daughter before. It's like, you don't have to teach kids to sin. I mean, that infatuation with self begins from the earliest days. And well, if God kept a record of every wrong, who wouldn't need atonement? We often make the common error of comparing ourselves horizontally instead of vertically.
Wow. Yep.
And, you know, and once my comparison is horizontal and I look at all these train wreck people online and on Facebook and on the news, you know, I feel kind of self-righteous and I pray that Pharisee prayer, or at least think that Pharisee thought, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. But once I stop comparing horizontally and I look up at a God who is pure goodness and he is unfathomable patience and he is blazing holiness as the angels and archangels shout in Isaiah 6, I think that's, you know, in the Bible, anytime anyone gets close to holiness, whether it's God himself or an angel, they think they're going to die. And so if we can have the humility to believe that God is maybe a little bit better than we tend to assume, and if we can stop comparing ourselves to other humans horizontally and compare ourselves with his holiness vertically, I think that's going to drive us to the belief, unlike the Pharisee prayer, to say, you know, God, just have mercy on me because I'm not like you. I'm a sinner who needs to be saved.
It's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Our God is a consuming fire. I mean, as you said, you think of the times when the manifest presence was made known in Scripture. Never once, except for when Peter's like, hey, this is cool, let's make an altar. But then God's voice thundered and then he went face down. But every other time you see these people go face down. They're absolutely undone. And I even think of Peter, you know, after he'd failed, bless his sweet heart, and he's fishing, and Jesus says, put the net in on the other side, and he pulls in the catch, and he sees the miracle in the moment. You know, he goes to his knees and says, depart from me. I'm an unclean man. I think when you see God move, you realize he's God and we're not. And it should inspire absolute reverence and awe, humility and gratitude. And if that's not permeating from our life, we need a fresh God encounter, because I think that's the only way, Mike, we're going to see people as God sees them.
Yeah, so true. Well, back when I was in middle school, I had to take some kind of doctrine classes at the church that I grew up in. And I can still remember these notes I had from all these years ago, that there's two main teachings in the Bible, the law and the gospel. And the law shows us our sins with such clarity. You know, it's like a polished mirror that just, it shows me how unworthy I am. And then the gospel shows me the absolute sufficiency of the blood of Jesus. And I think in every generation, the tendency is always to either compromise the law or compromise the gospel, to minimize the problem that we have, to kind of fog up the mirror so we don't see ourselves as bad as the situation is, or to diminish the sacrifice of Jesus and say, okay, Jesus died, but now we have to do A, B, and C to be saved. And so I think every generation has to fight for those very basic teachings. As Jesus said before he returned to heaven, repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in my name. And so that's kind of the battle that God calls us to. Don't in your pride, don't think so much of yourselves that you diminish the law. And in your pride, don't think that I haven't provided the full solution in the gospel. So let's hold on to those two key teachings.
Come on. I mean, the fact that he sends new mercies to our door every morning shows that we need them, you know, and that he doesn't punish us as our sins deserve. His mercies are really overwhelming when you think about it. And I think that when we stay in the Word, as you say, and you let the Word have the final say, and you know the God of the Word, I think it was Tozer who said, you know, you go into the Word to get an encounter with God so that you can get to know the God of the Word. And when you get to meet the God of the Word, and, you know, and he shows you his character, his nature, his call, his standard. I mean, you really are undone and in awe. And so we're going to pause. When we come back, we'll keep on with these cores of the Christian faith and having such an important conversation with Mike Novotny. Again, honored to have him up in our Faith Radio lineup at 2 o'clock Central. And you can find more information about his show on our website, myfaithradio.com. As we go to break, remember, if you've got a loved one far from God or a prodigal, maybe they once loved Jesus and now they're deconstructing or just they've run away. We care about you and we don't want you to run alone. We don't want you to suffer alone. And so I recorded 15 audio clips to encourage your heart, to help you care for your soul, to remind you to pray and believe. And you can get them for free. Just text the word heart to 877-933-2484. Over the next several weeks, you'll get 2 to 3 audio clips. They're about 2 to 3 minutes long. I really love how they turned out, and I think they'll be a great blessing to you. We'll be back in a minute. Hope you're having a really great day. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. We're having a really important conversation with our friend Mike Novotny, Dr. Mike Novotny. Pastor Mike Novotny. He's also in our Faith Radio lineup. We're drawing a little bit from his book, Taboo, Topics Christians Should Be Talking About But Don't. But actually, he's really going with the flow and pivoted with me today because I had a profound and deep burden on my heart, you know, discerning the difference between those who've really departed from the faith or maybe in the process of deconstructing and those who just have a different opinion than you on the secondary issues and how quick we are to lump all those people together and to, you know, believe the worst, not the best. But the call of God on us to truly discern what's biblical Christianity and not to play the Holy Spirit, you know, that's so profoundly sad when people are so full of judgment and anger that they're the quickest ones to correct, but there's no love in their hearts. And what if someone has questions? What if they are wandering? We're supposed to snatch them from the flame. Well, they got to know that they're safe with you, that you love and care about them. So there's got to be a way to do this. So we've been talking about the cores of Christianity. These things are not up for grabs. There are other things, I don't know if we'll have time to get to them, that are secondary. We've touched on them in other shows. But these, in case you're wondering, and we're doing this because it is our mission and our goal to not only lead people to Christ, but to nurture you and disciple you in your faith. And as Mike Novotny says, the word has the final say. The word has the final word. So we've talked about that we believe in the one and true living God. We believe that Jesus Christ is God's beloved Son. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe that salvation comes only through Jesus Christ. And before I go to the next one, Angie wrote this, my producer, on the board, and I just want to say it because I think it's important and have you comment, Mike. But she says, one thing I think we, the church, could do better in the area of its original sin is to talk more about the break in relationship. Sin is a break in a relationship with God. Jesus' death and resurrection mends that relationship if we're willing to turn to Him. Father, Son, Holy Spirit wants to be in a relationship with us. And that's really good. Anything you want to say or add to that, Mike?
Yeah, that's beautifully said. And it's profound that the God against whom every sin is committed desires a relationship with rebellious sinners. Like, that's, man, sometimes in our very self-esteemy, is that a word? Self-esteem?
It is now.
Yeah, it is now. There's a new adjective right here on Faith Radio. Yeah. You know, we forget that God is so infinitely good, and I am so not, and yet he desires to be with me. In fact, he would sacrifice great personal cost and comfort to mend that relationship. Someone once said that original sin as a doctrine is like the first domino. And if you get it right, you tend to end up getting most other doctrines right. And if you get it wrong and just assume, well, you know, we're human and we're a little flawed, but we're pretty good, well, then you don't need to be saved. You probably just need a little bit of advice for self-improvement. Hmm. So I think starting where the Bible begins, that after Adam and Eve fell into sin, they ran and hid from God. There was a relationship that was broken that only God himself could mend by seeking out his sinful children. So yeah, it's a humbling doctrine. It's a sobering doctrine. It's not good news, but it is truth. And it sets us on the path that leads to the gospel, which is good news.
Amen. Just reiterating, so these get into our long-term memory, we believe in the one true and living God. We believe that Jesus Christ is God's precious Son. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. We believe that salvation comes only through Jesus Christ. Here's another one. We believe that the Bible is the inspired written Word of God. And here again, Mike, this is one of those things that professing Christians have put up for grabs, that they're picking and choosing. Like I've heard people say, I'm a Christian, but I don't like any of the books of Paul, so I'm taking those out. And, you know, or, you know, like Noah's Ark never happened, that kind of a thing. What say you about that?
Boo.
Okay. I did not see that coming.
Yeah, you know, that's the devil knows the power of the Word of God. Yeah. Faith comes from hearing the message. The Word of God is like a fire and a hammer and a double-edged sword. It cuts us, it convicts us, it comforts us, and it leads us back to the cross. So it makes sense to me. If I'm the devil, the number one thing I want to do is make people question the veracity and the truthfulness of the word.
That's right.
If I can convince you that, you know, okay, maybe there's truth in there, but it's like a juice box, you know, contains 10% truth instead of from cover to cover, this is the infallible, inspired word of God. Then I've shaken the very foundation upon which the gospel rests. So yes, we confess with Jesus himself as he prayed in John 17, Father, sanctify them by the truth. Your word not contains truth. Your word is truth.
Truth. Yeah. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's so powerful. We believe Jesus established his church. We believe Jesus established his church. What do you say about that one?
Yeah. You know, the word church is kind of a tricky word. We sometimes talk about the Holy Christian Church with a capital C. Some theologians have called this the invisible church because it's not necessarily a Sunday gathering. It's all the people who have repented of sin and trusted in Jesus as their only Savior.
The body of Christ, right?
Yeah, exactly. The body of Christ, it's the temple of God, it's the flock. There's so many beautiful metaphors that the Bible uses. But then Jesus told his church with a capital C to form churches, to gather together. You know, where two or three are gathered, there I am with them. And we find in both Old Testament and New that God's actually a really big fan of organized religion. not all of it, not sinfulness or hypocrisy or a lack of love or false doctrine. But, oh man, all these New Testament letters are written to churches because God wanted his capital C church to gather under good spiritual leadership in community, to be able to preach the word, encourage each other, and love each other deeply in Jesus' name.
Boy, that's so good. Remember, Jesus talked about the gates of hell will not prevail, you know? I mean, it's the enemy is doing everything he can to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus is returning and returning for his bride. So say a word about that core belief that we believe Jesus Christ is coming again.
Yeah. My church just kicked off a sermon series on the book of Revelation last Sunday. How about that?
Wow.
No one fell asleep during that sermon.
And, yeah, I bet.
You know, as complex and mysterious as it can be, as I read through it and as I'm getting ready to preach this Sunday, it's my summary of the book is it's bad, it gets worse, but don't worry because Jesus wins. And that's what I think. The Bible is not too rosy about the state of affairs in this broken, fallen, and sinful world. But it never leaves us without hope because it says that the Jesus who came once to save is coming back to save us ultimately from all brokenness, all pain, all death, all suffering, and all fear. We believe, and it could be any day, that the heavens are going to open and Jesus will appear with the armies of glory, and everything that's evil will be destroyed, and everyone who holds on to Jesus in faith will triumph. So yeah. I cannot wait for that great day.
Oh, amen. All of creation groans for the day when God reveals who his children really are. And he knows you. He sees you. And if you've trusted him for salvation, you're marked and you're filled with his Spirit. And, you know, are there any cores that I've missed? Those are some of the basics. But can you think of anything that I missed that is just not up for grabs?
I would say the necessity of repentance.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
You know, I'm a huge guy. I love to get back to the gospel every single Sunday, every single message, every single chapter of a book that I write. But, you know, Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is near. So therefore, here's two things you should do. Repent and believe the good news. Mm-hmm. I get a lot of questions, especially from teenagers. So, well, I believe in Jesus and therefore it doesn't really matter how I live. My sexuality and expression and orientation and preference doesn't matter because I believe that I'm forgiven at the cross. But I kind of picture a lack of repentance, like holding on to something with two hands. Like if I'm holding tightly onto something, my hands aren't open so they can also hold on to the cross. And so I would say when God calls us to repentance, he calls us to let go of whatever he doesn't like so that we can hold on to the good news of the gospel of Jesus. So kind of gets back to that law and gospel thing, repentance and forgiveness. I think those are absolutely core doctrines and often forgotten doctrines in 21st century America.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for bringing that up. Thank you. Amen. And, you know, without that, without repentance, you think about how many have a false sense of security because scripture says even Satan believes and he trembles. So there's some that have made a mental assent, kind of given a nod. Okay, I believe Jesus died on the cross, but they're in their core being, their life has not been altered by the gospel. You know, I mean, this is a gift of grace, but it's a supernatural proposition and transaction where you are transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. And I think about maybe those who are giving a mental nod or saying, I can live the way I want because I'm trusting in his grace. Then I think of what Jesus said, many will say on that day, you know, I will say to many, I didn't know you. I mean, that causes me to tremble Mike, that many have a false sense of security because maybe the whole gospel has not been preached.
Yeah. Yeah, this isn't my original quote, but someone once said, the Bible is meant to afflict the comfortable and to comfort the afflicted. And so if there's anyone listening who is panicking right now saying, oh, well, what if I'm one of the fakes who thinks she's saved and she isn't? I would just say, if you're worried about your own sinfulness, you're okay.
Yeah.
you're trembling before God and his holiness and his standards. It's the person who feels comfortable, who shrugs their shoulders, who has no desire to put their sin to death, who isn't turning away from anything, who's living their own truth. That's the person the Bible's concerned about. So yeah, if you're comfortable, let the law afflict you. And if you're afflicted by your own sinfulness, let the gospel comfort you. And if you can keep those two things straight, I think you get Christianity right.
Wow, that's so good. And, you know, a good question to ask, you know, especially if you've had that message preached, you don't have to change anything. You just have to believe. You just have to give a mental assent to this. After you've prayed that prayer or checked your box or said your phrase, do you find that you're bothered by your sin? Do you find that your tastes change? Because I think those are really good questions, because something happens in the life of the believer. It's not sin management. It's not bootstrap theology. I mean, there is a supernatural proposition at work in your soul to the point where suddenly you go, man, I used to think that was funny. That's not funny anymore. My tastes are changing. Mike, we got to go to break, but I would love for you to you have a minute or so. You want to add to that or comment on that in any way?
Yeah. You know, before in the program, we talked about 2 Timothy 3, that all scripture is God-breathed, and it's useful. I love the ending of this phrase, for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Wow. And I think that's it. I think the Holy Spirit works so powerfully through the word that when we read it, it changes us from the inside out. It makes us dislike, be disgusted by, and even hate things that we used to be okay with. And it opens our eyes to just the bigness and beauty of the gospel that comforts us. So it's kind of weird. I think the more you read the Bible, the worse you tend to think you are as a person. and the more you tend to think of Jesus. And it keeps you humble and it makes you happy at the same time.
So true. You know, as we go to break, I got to say, having worked in radio for as long as I have, what's amazing about some of the older sage guests that I've had on the show over the years, they'll all say the same thing. As I've walked with the Lord a long time and I let his word change me from the inside out, I find that I'm more sinful than I realized and I'm more loved than I could ever comprehend. And that propels them into humility and teachability. And I think that's one of the ways you know you've been with Jesus, because this profound gratitude takes over you because you've got the light shining in your heart and it shows you that you're a pile of contradictions. You're grateful and you're grumpy. You're kind and you're cruel. We all are. We all have our moments and our days. And praise God, when you're in Christ, you're a new creation and he gives you new mercies every day. I pray we can stay in perpetual awe of what God has done. And as so many of these great listeners have said, that we can walk in this high level of discernment, but be slow to judge. High discernment, high love, high faith, wisdom, not compromising on the word of God, but getting in the word and understanding the word. When we come back, Mike, let's talk about maybe those who are, maybe they're on the path of wandering. Maybe they're in the process of deconstructing. What do we do? Do you break fellowship? Do you pursue them? What do you do? How do you handle those who maybe have wandered or are wandering from the faith, who maybe have just boldly just started to deny all the cores of Christianity? What shall we do? Talking to Mike Novotny. I'll be back in a minute. This is Suzy Larson, host of Suzy Larson Live. I don't know about you, but I love consistent nourishment. I love to fast on occasion. There's a purpose in that. But if you go too long without eating on a regular basis because you're too busy, your body actually goes into crisis mode. Well, in the same way, your soul, your spirit, they need nourishment too. And that's why it's so important to be listening to scripture, listening to good teaching on a consistent basis throughout the day. That's why we're here. We love what we do, and we want to do it with you. If you listen on the radio, on the terrestrial signal, we encourage you, download our free Faith Radio app. That way, if you're traveling this season, you can take us with you wherever you go. You can catch the live shows or even the podcast after the fact. And we've made it easier than ever.
All you have to do is text the word APP to 877-933-2484 and then click the link. I hope you will walk with us on this journey. Greater things are yet to be done in and all around us because God, well, He's on the move.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. Have as our guest today, Pastor Dr. Mike Novotny, who's also joined our Faith Radio lineup. So excited about that. And it's sort of a family meeting today. And I love what Gwen wrote in. She said, so good to hear this today. Thank you for the family meeting. Conversations like this are an answer to Jesus' prayer about unity in John 17. I love you, Gwen. Thank you for that. I was nervous about today's show just because I'm feeling a little bit battered, if I'm keeping it real, but I wanted to wrestle for the truth. And I'm so, Mike, this has just been so great. So what we've been doing is talking about some of the cores of Christianity that are not up for grabs. Now, with the few minutes we have left, what do you do? I mean, I guess the answer would be different when you're talking about, you know, platforming someone versus just in your relationship with them. But what do you do when someone's maybe they're either deconstructing or in the process and they don't want to hear from you? They really don't want your opinion. They're on their mission to deconstruct. What shall we do? How should we handle that? How should we respond?
Susie, I'm sure you know, like I do, it's so dependent on the person, their willingness, their attitude. When I was a brand new pastor, I still think I'm a pretty mediocre pastor, but I was way below mediocre when I started 17 years ago. And God put me at this church with a really wise, experienced pastor. And I remember what he said, that there's some situations that are so messy. And the best thing that you can do, here was his two-word phrase, is to drip love. He said, not everyone will agree with you. Not everyone will follow what the word of God says. But in those interactions, if it can be so evident, if love is like dripping off of you, that everyone who's there to witness it can see it, I think that's the best path that we can take. If we have open Bibles and we're dripping love with people, if we're I've been in those conversations where like, wow, I want to be with you in heaven. And it seems to me that you're holding on to something that could cost you eternity. And I don't want to lose you. So it's not just a, you know, doctrinal cross my T's and dot my I's. It's a deep concern for the soul. I think of Jesus weeping in Matthew 23. You know, he goes after the Pharisees for their false doctrine and their terrible living, but it breaks him emotionally. And so it's really hard to be a person who's really serious doctrinally, but also really gushing emotionally. And I think if we can hold that tension and drip love while we hold on to the Bible in one hand, that's the best that we can do as, you know, people might be wandering or drifting from the truth of the scripture.
That's exactly, you just said it in such a more concise and short way, but I was trying to say that, you know, half hour ago, that holy tension takes, to me, work where you're contending for a redeemed perspective. I mean, Paul said, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. So somehow, some way, even those, maybe even especially those who are departing and deconstructing, wrestling, God, give me a redeemed perspective of them. What breaks their heart? What makes them thirsty? What would you have me do? Now, again, as far as platforming, if I have someone who is off the rails, I'm not going to bring them on this show, and I'm trying so hard to guard that correctly, but it can happen, and it has happened. I've had people on the show, and then, you know, 6, 8, 10 months later, I find out they've gone off the rails, and, you know, we do our best. But still, that tension of holding the Bible and holding fast to love, again, we don't default to that. I think we have to so abide in the vine so that we don't allow our love to grow cold as well. And don't you think sometimes the love grows cold because of fear? I mean, we're so afraid of maybe where they're going, what that means, so that we're reacting in a spirit of fear.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just thinking of Jesus. He was such a master at this because not for a single second did he ever compromise the truth of his Father's will. And yet, I mean, he got close enough to Pharisees and false teachers that people jumped to conclusions about Jesus. He breaks bread with these people. He's a friend of drunks and tax collectors and, you know, the black sheep of the Jewish family. So yeah, Jesus seemed to hold the tension that you're talking about, where he never was soft on truth. And yet he would put himself, I mean, his toes were like hanging over the edge of the cliff of love, that as close as he could get to loving a person without compromising the truth, he would do it. And so for the situations that you talked about, yeah, there, you know, there's going to be times that we love people so deeply that people might jump to conclusions about what we think of their theology. But I think just a patient, humble, listening, yet bold, courageous, truthful, that's the tension. It's easy to do one thing. It's really hard to do both.
Yeah.
And I pray that the Spirit will give us strength and love to do it just like Jesus did.
Boy, so good. Jesus was content to be misunderstood. And if you're truly walking in the fear of the Lord, holding fast to love and holding the Bible, and you're accused of your associations, then you'll let God defend you. But wow, Mike, this has been so good. It just, my heart needed it. Friends, based on the text that have come in, I think it's been good for you as well. But we just bless you in the name of Jesus for working to be a student of the Word and to rightly handle the Word. And friends, would you just keep praying for us? Because this is quite a day that we're living in. Mike, thank you for the time today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Susie.
We appreciate you. And I appreciate you. Can't even tell you how much I appreciate you. Stay in the Word. Let the Word have the final say. And again, as Tozer says, get to know the God of the Word, because He's better than you ever imagined, and He loves you so much. We'll meet you back here next time. Thank you for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These conversations are available because of your support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. Please subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any episodes, and then share it with friends so together we can all have a deeper life in Christ.